Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us over here at the Challenge Fandom Podcast. I'm going over my words already, so you know it's going to be a great episode.
Woohoo!
Got myself, Ricky Hayes, my beautiful wife, Karina Hayes, Tony, Stats, and Info Lance. And then we've got Katie Bad Blood for her.
Ooh.
And I got the last name right.
You did.
You got it right. We'll see if you get rid of
me. Yeah. It depends. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I might be a little inebriated.
Just a tad.
So obviously, if you're listening to us on, you know, Apple or Spotify and not YouTube, you realize or don't realize that there's no video with this. But we've had some issues with the host, so we're trying some new things, and as soon as we get it figured out.
By host, he means recording site, not the hosts of the show.
Yeah, sorry if I'm not clear on that.
We have a host with TJ Levin. A host? Yeah, I can't talk.
We do have a host in TJ Levin.
Oh, man. Yes, we do.
Camera follows her.
Yeah, her camera follows her. I love that.
What's happening. It's driving me nuts. Oh, you do? It's freaking me out.
Cool. I wish mine did that.
I mean, it can if you just stay in frame. Why are we doing this? We're live. Yeah. We're live.
Sorry. Oh, God. I'm so sorry. Sorry.
And audio only.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sad you guys do not have video this week.
Yeah.
All of a sudden.
But
it's our fault, but it's too bad for you.
Anyways, what about this episode?
Yeah, classic statement. With all of that being said, we should have this all figured out if everything goes well tonight by next week, and we'll be back on video.
Wish us luck.
So, yeah, exactly. But with that being said, like I said, we're here to break down Challenge 39, Episode 8, struggling to hold it together, man.
We are.
Fine.
Who knows?
Both.
We don't know right now.
Yeah, Nobody knows. It's a tough world out there. But, you know, thankfully the challenge is there to provide that distraction that we all want.
With shitty titles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, would it be the challenge without shitty titles? It's almost like the novelty of it now.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Not this season, at least.
I guess all I can really say is that I guess I just have to be happy that the titles no longer give away what happens in the episode. Because that's how they used to do it back, like. Mm-hmm. And when I say old school, I mean like actual old school, like, you know, 1 through like 12 or 13
episode
or something like
that. Episode 7, Cyrus goes home.
Yeah, it's like they always shit like that. Or well, I guess they did it in USA too, because there were certain episodes that was like, one of them was named after Tiffany, and that
Tiffany,
was the episode.
We trust.
That was the one she went home, and, you know, like sometimes they give it away in the title. In the title. Well, and apparently this week, Amazon Prime screwed it up for a whole bunch of people.
Oh, yeah.
Because they put the eliminated players, like, extended thought bullshit at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a short little, I think that's like how I understood what I was reading online, was that it was just like a short little, like, frame, a couple frames, and then it's flipped to the TJ, you know, TJ saying like, you know, last time on or whatever the hell he says. But yeah, it literally showed Big T at the very beginning of the episode before it even actually started. I was like, what?
Foreshadowing. It was foreshadowing.
It was like 10 shadowing.
One thing I wanted to bring up from the intro of this was we see Michelle, Jay, Olivia, and Emmanuel talking, right, about who they want to vote in after the date.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I've kind of noticed, like, out of this alliance, this giant alliance of, like, ride or dies and knowing each other from the actual flagship.
SLA, yeah.
You're starting to see divisions in this, and they're crossing lines. It's not just, like, all ride or die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know it foreshadows a little bit into what happens later in the episode, where all of a sudden Jay and Michelle are talking about, like, hey, there's going to come a time where we're going to have to take shots at one another, which is what we all wait for every season.
Yeah.
Right.
But what did you think of these? It's Jay, Michelle, Olivia, Manuel talking about Jay saying Zara is like one of the main threats as the women for the final. And I think that's an accurate statement. What do you guys think?
I mean, he's not wrong.
Oh, yeah. I think she's totally up.
Yeah.
She's up there. She's so athletic.
She only lost to Kaz by a couple of minutes. So
yeah, exactly. You know,
and by couple, I'm pretty sure I mean two.
In her rookie season, too.
Yeah.
So now with that experience, how much better she's going to be
and well,
more prepared.
And not to mention the fact that she had some time on Worlds with Wes, of all people.
And learned what not to do.
Yep.
You know, and I am sure, learned what not to do. Always do all the steps.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just skip the step and hope that the time, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, but that being said, y'all know Wes coached her while they were there together, because that's that's the most Wes thing that Wes could do.
Yeah.
So, you know, she might have a little bit more like, you know, street knowledge as far as the challenge goes than somebody, you know, who has played equivalent time as she has.
Yeah. Now, I do have a proper question for you guys. I actually did my question homework. So for you guys, as well as for the listeners, too, there's been talk this episode specifically about how they're using the vets. So there's talk about going in to defend the money and try to keep it away from the vets. There's also at least two instances of them talking about weaponizing the vets to take out their competition so they don't eventually have to go in against them, presumably in the next section. What do you think is the best course of action? Do you think it's better to send in your competition and have them sent home by the vets, losing $10,000 every time that they do, and hope that you can gain it back? Or do you try to make it so that you're sending people in that you know have a decent shot of coming back into the house, but protecting your money?
Me personally, both.
Yeah.
Both BOAF. No. no, I would probably, like, whoever I feel my biggest competition is, I would sell it to them. Like, hey, we trust you to go in and protect this money from CT, from Kara, from whatever the hell. Yeah. So we're going to send you in. But like, you got to save our money, bro. You got to save our money and bring it back. But secretly, I'm hoping they lose down there. That's just my like cover.
And it's that balance, because you have to, if you're sending somebody in under the guise of protecting your money, then you have to frame it in a way that they're not coming back into the house pissed off at you.
Right. Exactly. Because then you're getting, because if you think about it, your biggest competition and the people best suited to protect your money against these champions are probably the same people.
Yeah.
You know, they're the strongest ones in the house. So why not get them down there, like you said, under the guise of, you know, we don't want you to go home. We just, you're the one that we trust to save our money. We're sick of losing money and you're the one we trust. Like, you have to go and do this for us. And you're CYAing, you're, you know, on both sides, because potentially your biggest competition is going home. And if they don't, then at least they're not coming in, you know, shooting bullets at you.
I think with the element of the chaos pull, it really doesn't matter. You just throw down who you would throw down normally, and you hope it's lucky where you get in a Manuel and a Corey Lay, so you have a higher chance of someone, a big competitor, going home and saving $10,000. I mean, which one's more important in the long run? I mean,
and that's kind of what I mean.
To me, well, I'm sorry, I don't want to cut you off.
I was just going to say, I mean, honestly, I would rather win $376,000 instead of $406,000 and not have to run against Jay, Corey Lay, and Emmanuel, or Horacio.
That's what I was going to say, too, especially because TJ, at the very episode one, he's already explained the three stages to them, and that in the last stage, you will have a chance to recuperate some of the money.
Yeah.
So the money that they didn't win in the dailies to like add to their bank, I am sure that they're going to have opportunities. They're going to have opportunities to add money to their bank again, probably through dailies or whatever. So get rid of your competition now against the mercenaries while you can. Make back as much money as you can, but make sure that when you step into that final, that no matter what that final prize is, you have the best shot of being the one walking away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just because of the chaos element, it's such a variable that it almost makes a certain amount of trying to plan this out and execute it so difficult. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because exactly, Emmanuel and Corey Lake, the best opportunity to take out another champ are those two guys outside of probably Orosio and maybe Jay.
Yeah.
Right.
And it ends up being Devin and Callum. You know what I mean? Because he gets to pick whoever he wants.
Right.
So it's just an interesting, it's like the hopper, right? Mm-hmm. It gives it that level of randomness that I think makes it interesting.
I agree. Yeah.
One thing that I did find interesting too was that Big T's FaceTime was to Kyle and his son. I love that moment.
Dude,
I was happy to see Kyle so
freaking much.
If we could have just got Kyle and Devin on the same episode. It would have been almost perfect.
It would have been great. It would have been
touching
great.
Tips.
I miss Kyle. Why is Kyle not on this season? Like, why is Kyle? I know that he's probably filming. It was probably his, you know, Jordy Shore stuff and family stuff and kids and get married. And business. He's been, you know, he's been doing his thing. I totally get it. But still, like, as a fan, why the fuck is Kyle not on this season?
We missed you.
Yeah, man. You told me you were coming back, Kyle. What the hell? Yeah. You literally told me you were going to come back. And I was expecting it to be this season. Damn it.
I do have a question, though, speaking about Kyle. He did say to Big T that if he were in the house, he would be protecting her. Do we think that he really would? Or would he be being Kyle?
As long as it benefits him.
No. Because I wouldn't.
That was my exact thought.
Where would it benefit him? They're the smallest alliance in the house. They have nobody backing them up. Everybody's after them. Everybody's annoyed with them. And the thing about Kyle is like, and it's the thing that makes me love watching him on TV is he don't give a fuck. No. Yeah, like he doesn't get. He will lie and you know, like I don't want to say cheat and steal, but you guys know what I mean. Lie, cheat, and steal his way to the end. It's just that's how Kyle plays. Yeah,
and he knows that they still need to send him home.
He treats it like a game.
Yeah, weird. That's why we love him.
And the thing is Kyle is unassuming because of his personality, but he is a fucking threat.
Yeah.
Probably should have beat CT in Spies, Lies, and Allies. I mean, and I hate to say that as a CT fan, but him and Tori got there quick. They just fucked up on the code.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where, you know, of course we say whoever was partnered with CT was going to win that.
But, yeah.
I mean, that's going down a rabbit hole. Anyways. The fucking wildest shit, though, was, like, Corey's and Melissa's conversation.
Oh,
like,
my God, dude.
Like, please trust me again. Like, what?
First of all, okay, so you have the situation that you had in nominations, right? And then you guys both, like, blow up and have this really stupid, ugly, awkward moment. And then after the elimination, then you're going to go confront Corey about it after you just talked about what a big piece of shit he is. First of all, why Melissa? He just humiliated you. Mm-hmm. Why even?
She even said it. Yeah. You humiliated me.
But okay, I'll push past that. All right. So she goes and confronts him trying for, I don't know what, like trying to salvage the relationship. I don't understand, but okay. And Corey says to her that he hopes he can earn her trust back someday. And I was like, what?
No.
Not today. No. He said someday.
The fucking audacity, okay?
I'm going to deem that as negative Red Ryder, as it's been almost 6 or 9 months since they got done filming, and they're still yelling at each other on Twitter.
My thing is like, I understand when you have these issues in the game, and I'm not saying, like, you know, Corey's a bad person at all by any means. You know, I love that watching him play this season. It's just like, it's literally like the next day or within like a day or two of what just happened at nominations. And it's like, to just have the fucking, like I said, just the audacity to say that comment to the person you just fucking blew up their whole game in front of everybody. It's just like, oh my God, Corey.
But he did finally, he admitted last week, we were wondering if he was like just playing around and if he had actually sided with the U.S. or if he was like in the middle playing both sides and just got caught. And he admitted, he's like, oh, well, I got caught.
Yeah.
I was playing both sides.
And he did also say, though, that Michelle was the only one that knew that he was getting information from Melissa and Big T.
But so why didn't she stand up and support him? Be like, yeah.
Would you?
Melissa or Michelle wouldn't stand up for anyone outside of probably Jay.
Plus, yeah. In that situation, with that much mm-hmm. like animosity being thrown around, do you really want to be like, no, he told me after?
No, I don't mean like in that situation. I just mean like with the alliance, like when they were all talking about, oh, he's being shady.
Probably did.
Yeah. Why is he talking to Melissa? Oh. Why is he talking to Big T? Why did she just be like, he's getting information for us guys. Like, just chill the fuck out.
He probably,
you know what I mean? But
he might have and just,
they just didn't listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Hit the cutting room floor.
Or they didn't want to use it because it didn't work with the narrative of Corey and Melissa. I mean,
yeah.
Here's the thing though. Like, yeah, Corey blew up his game a little bit, but the confession, not a little bit, a lot of it, but the confessional where he's talking about it, like Corey understands how this game works. It's not like he blew up his game and has no idea what happened. He knows exactly what happened. He knows what he did and he knows what he has to do. And that's what I like about watching Corey play is he'll get himself into a situation and then he'll figure out how to get himself out of it. Rather than that situation being his entire storyline for the entire time that he's on the show.
The most redeeming part of what happened is that it happened on episode 8 and not like episode 16 or 17.
Yeah.
You know, assuming this is a 22 season episode.
22.
Yeah, somewhere in there. One thing I really loved about this episode was the daily.
I did like the daily.
I loved this
daily. They reused the tower. From the car math episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and exactly. The fact that they called it Tower of Power, I was about that.
Yeah, it was a good name. It was a good title. I was like, good. All right.
Yeah, yes. Let's fucking go. Uh-huh.
I really liked this one.
Yeah, I liked this one a lot. Obviously, there was a crap ton of, you know, not so fast references.
But nothing like it.
But
we needed like a counter for the amount of times that Jay brought up CT and him beating him.
I was gonna say it definitely wasn't like a not so fast, but it was very similar to what Jay did against CT. I'm not sure exactly what that was called.
Wednesday morning, there was one of like the many challenge Twitter accounts that posted something along the lines of, you all are going to be so pissed at Jay when you hear about how he was talking about CT on this episode. And I listened. So I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to have to put on my defending Jay hat, which is really just my Stay Loco hat that I wear every week. But at the same time, I watched it and I was like, OK, so I wrote it all down simply because I was like, I need somebody else to verify this for me because I am obviously biased towards Jay. He talked about playing against CT and then he explained how he won by way of like doing the chains rather than the ropes. He said that everyone on the other team would have lost to CT because they used the ropes and they didn't do a good job of barricading everything. He also said that when he beat CT, it wasn't a cakewalk. He said that winning felt great, but not as great as when he beat CT, because no shit, he's a huge fan of the show, and he fucking beat CT after CT put himself in to get us easy skull by sending Jay home. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, he said that he hopes that he's safe on the day that CT walks in, because he does not want to go back into the sand against him. So I looked at it, and I looked at Sarah afterwards, and I was like, I could not find anything where he wasn't complimentary to CT. Not even that he didn't say anything negative. He was like, CT could have beat all of these people in this.
By himself.
So, So here's my thing with all the stuff that Jay said about CT. I did not personally take any like offense to it or take it negatively or anything. However, I'm trying to, number one, remember that these are confessionals. And number two, I find it very odd that Jay all of a sudden was just randomly very much talking about CT and this type of daily and what he did in the elimination and what CT's good at with not so fast. I feel like this was set up by production and and CT is going to get not so fast when he comes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like.
Absolutely. Something like that.
Like they told him, talk about, we want you to talk about when you went against DT in something like this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they told him in that moment, but I think that this is some foreshadowing.
Someone was feeding him something.
I feel like this is some foreshadowing to what we're going to see from CT. I feel like it's going to be like a not so fast or some kind of, you know, I'm going to barricade this shit and you got to try to get into it.
That being said, I hope that it's Kylan that goes against CT and not Jay. Jay doesn't need to prove himself against CT anymore.
Yeah.
Not so fast against CT. Are we talking like who I want to see him beat or who I want to see have the best chance against him?
Who do you want? Both. Who do you want to see him beat? Let's do that first.
I would want to see him beat Corey Lay. Like that would be a fucking battle. But I think he could do it.
Who do you think stands the best chance, though?
Against CT in this?
Mm-hmm.
A Manuel or a Rossio? In like a real not so fast, not what him and Jay did.
But no, but like a real one.
Yeah, like the one him and Darrell did.
Yeah.
I think Horacio.
Yeah, Horacio. Yeah, for the endurance.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need the endurance. Yeah.
Kylan's also like completely studied it. Not that it worked well for him, but.
Not that it worked well.
But a bunch. We lost our soundboard.
No, I just don't have that sound.
The way this daily's going to work is there's two towers, two teams. They have 30 minutes to grab a whole bunch of junk, including chains, ropes, giant
cinder blocks, whatever.
And they have to block up this tower and a fence and then another fence.
Yeah, it's like three entrances total, right? Because it's the front fence, the second fence, and then the door, and then they got to get upstairs. Yeah.
And
after 30 minutes, they have to stop whatever they're doing, switch sides, and then first one to get all their team members up to the top, they win. They have to raise a flag, and then they win. I fucking love this daily. It was so cool to watch.
It
reminded me of old school challenges.
Yes.
Like golden era challenge. Like
golden era. Yes. Yeah. Like 20, yes. like 19 through like yes. 30, you know, like,
yeah.
And it was just like literally kicked off right out of the gate with a freaking like tug of war over these chains. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even notice this the first time we watched it. I noticed it the second time. But and I'm pretty sure it's Olivia, but she gets like all twisted up and they're like yanking on him and she gets dropped on her fucking ass. Like they were going hard.
You know, I fucking love Olivia. I just gotta, she's such a badass. Like if that shit happened to my face,
dude,
last season, there ain't no way in hell I'm coming back or I'm going to be Mariah. And I'm like, nope. I paid this much money for this. I'm not doing that.
I would have seen. I would have seen so fucking
quick. I just thought about that clip from Zach Nichols' podcast.
Yeah. They're catching shit about that one online.
I know they are. But
sorry.
Anyway.
He didn't have contacts, I'm sure, but no defense. I'm not trying to defend anyone, but just assuming this. Yeah. Anyways, I thought, and I'm going to give credit to production because from the previews, I thought it was something like wrestling on the ground, the way they previewed Kylan's injury.
Yeah.
And then just seeing it was, they were pulling on the chain and it fucking whipped out and caught him like in the temple area.
Yeah.
First of all, good thing it wasn't 3 inches over because that could have been really fucking bad once again. That was a gnarly fucking cut.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. First of all, literally zero PPE for this daily, literally none.
Yeah, he did have a helmet. It just went right under the helmet.
But I mean, like, for your face, like, they had those big old, what do you call them, spools? Like, they were carrying big, heavy shit. Uh-huh. No
cable spools.
Like, you guys couldn't give them even just, like, the little science fucking safety goggles, like, that you get in science class and shit? Like, nothing?
Did you see when they switched and had to break into the other team? Corey hopped up and went to go push one of those barrels. And I was like, they're going to fucking hurt someone. Yes. Like they're not paying attention. Not like just Corey, but production has to account for this.
Everybody. It was chaos. Well,
they were literally throwing cinder blocks behind them at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember who it was. I saw someone toss one. I'm like, this is nuts.
You're all over 30. That is what this is. We're like, this is a horrible idea. Someone's going to get injured.
The kids are not safe.
They're coming from the back door. Protect the children.
Oh my god.
Anyways, just to give some context, basically we're not going to tell you everybody on the teams, because if you want to know, go watch that shit. Mm-hmm. But it's Team Jay versus Team Kylan is the best way I can kind of put
or
it.
Or orange and blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to say, though, before we actually get into talking about what ends up happening with this daily, I wanted to give a shout out to Jay because he had a confessional during when they were about to get ready to start the daily. And he in his confessional, he was like talking about, you know, like the game, his mom and, you know, all the things that she's been through. And then he says, you know, so when I win this money, it's all going to go towards my mom. And I loved that he said, when I win this money, because so many people get these, like, what are you going to do with the money when you win thing? And they're like, well, if I win, you know, but Jay was like, when I win this money, I'm going to take care of my mom's. And so I love that fucking attitude. That's what I love about Jay. And I know, like, he takes some shit because he's a smaller guy. And like, so people don't have like that, like, faith in him that they have in like the bigger people and whatnot. But man, I really, really think Jay could do it. If he could make it to a final, I really, truly think that he could win.
I'm going to die on this hill that size does not matter in the
challenge. I agree.
No, not at all. Look at Troy.
There is no fucking hall brawl in the final. I've never seen a pole wrestle in a fucking final. And balls in, you can be a smaller guy and still win that. Because that's all about speed and agility, not necessarily power.
Yeah. And there's so much chance in literally all
rounds. Yeah. And I mean, like, you're going to get a puzzle, but it really matters. Can you run long distances quickly?
Yeah.
That's all it really breaks down to. And can you do puzzles?
Yeah, exactly. You know, so.
Size does not matter. You know what I mean? And just, it's my pure opinion. It matters in a few eliminations and a few dailies outside of that.
And then if they're swimming in the final, like, that's a huge leg up for someone like Jay, you know? So like, that's my thing, is this, like, I love his attitude towards it. I love that the fact that, you know, he is the smallest guy, not the smallest, but a smaller guy in the house. You know, like, he doesn't let any of that shit get to him. He's like, when I win that money, because he knows what he's there for. And I love to see that. So anyway, major shout out to Jay.
Yeah.
I think he could fucking do it. He's just got to get to that final. And that's the hardest part for him, because I also think, no matter what everybody else says, other people in the house also think that if he made it to a final, he would win. So
absolutely.
So one thing I didn't understand was Horacio's comment about Kylan has a target on his back. Like, it's just weird to me when they throw
it. Like, from the Emmanuel thing, I think. Like,
but Horacio's the face of that. But to me, it's more or less, it's like they're foreshadowing something that isn't happening yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like how they did in USA 2, where all of a sudden the story just completely switched and you're like, what the fuck just happened?
Uh-huh. Yeah. What? Well, it was like that conversation, remember, in what was it? Ride or Dies, where Fessel and Mariah were sitting at that little like day bar and they were like talking about how they'd never do each other wrong, blah, 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 blah. And then it was the very next episode that fucking all the shit blew up between Fessel and Mariah. Like, you know, so I don't know, like little stuff like that sticks out to me. I'm like, okay, so Kylan's getting targeted next. Yeah. Like, but why? Where?
They've been peppering it through, because I think it was Michelle last episode had mentioned where he's got Melissa's back, which makes it so that they don't really know where he stands with the U.S. alliance, because he is sort of gravitating towards Melissa and Big T. And anytime that he's been in a position to say their names, he won't. So he's like, and understandable. But he's going against his alliance to the point where they don't really know how much they can trust him. And if you can't trust somebody in your alliance,
sometimes you got to be brave.
Yeah. And then go with the majority.
Yeah, we're going to get into that.
I couldn't resist.
Anyway, we're going to get into that later. Yeah, we're going to get into that later. So Anyway, moving on with the daily.
I did think it was funny that they fucking argued over these chains, and based on the way the edit played out, like, oh, they made a 4 or 5 second difference or so.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
If that.
Yeah, because, yeah, well, yeah, yeah, because Orange got ahead of them pretty, you know, quickly. But then, like, Blue ended up catching up. Like, they were getting in through that door. They were working on that last door, like, at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, but obviously, you know,
I think that's Orange where broke the, through. Yeah, the chains really played the effect was mm-hmm. happening on that door in the beginning, instead of Kylan trying to fucking just wrap the front door with a rope 30 times and tie a yeah. shoelace knot. You know what I mean? Because he worked on that thing for like 10 minutes.
10, 15 minutes.
The way the timer played out.
Yeah.
I did think it was great that Jay did say, like, I'm glad none of y'all went against CT. You would have been home right now. Right now.
Yeah.
That yeah.
pretty good. Actually, going back to what you said, Tony, like, some of Jay's confessionals about CT were like, okay, this is kind of overdone by production. Like,
that's mm-hmm. yeah.
But some of them were really good. Yeah. That one, I really enjoyed.
I liked it, yeah.
I laughed cool. audibly when it happened.
The mm-hmm. same with the one at the end, yeah. where he's just like,
yeah.
I swear to God, the day that CT yeah. walks into the sand, I want to be safe. I do not want to go against him again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, uh-huh. yeah, man. Fuck, nobody does.
Nobody does, yeah.
Choo-choo.
So anyway, Orange ends up winning the daily, and after some deliberation, they end up voting and Melissa gets chosen. But when they announce that they have chosen Melissa, Zara and James speak up in front of everybody publicly and make it very clear that they did not agree with this vote. They were just outvoted. And this is what I was talking about last yeah. week with Horacio. This is how we should have handled the situation. Yes, yeah. this is who we're sending in, but I yeah. just want to make it clear, I don't agree with this vote.
Yeah.
This 100%. Is I got outvoted and there was nothing I could do. You know, like,
yeah, Melissa's like, who voted me in? Literally everybody who didn't say I didn't vote you in.
Yeah.
Like, who was the first yes. person
who brought my name?
What are you talking you about? You've already been nominated multiple times.
Oh, which, my God. Which, by the way, can we just get a round of applause for Mariah? Because are you kidding me? That girl, when they say ride or die, that's her. That's her.
Talk about it.
Dude, she said, I'm not going to say, uh-huh. I'm not going to say a word. And she didn't. Not a single word.
And they uh-huh. continued it on.
Yeah, continued it on later too. I was like, dude, I was so fucking impressed with that. I was like, wow, yeah. man. Like,
did Melissa really think that she could strong arm Mariah into just being like, yeah, this is how it all went down. Would you like a play by play? Do you want me to write it out so you can read it later? I'll break it down into sections for yeah. you. She's yeah. like, no, like,
I don't understand what she no. thought was gonna happen.
Mariah was probably like, it probably didn't get, it got cut out, but she was probably like, when the show's over, I'll tell you what happened, but I can't tell you right now. I'm just not gonna say anything right now.
She did try to help yeah. Big T out, you know, yeah. and she tried to throw the trail off onto Colleen. I'm not yeah. quite sure what made her choose Colleen.
I don't know. Like, they kept saying that Colleen was
yeah.
in the very beginning of the episode when they were doing their foreshadowing. The first time that Colleen even came into the conversation was like when they did the montage of getting ready for the daily. And yeah. then all of a sudden it was Colleen talking. And I was like, she's
yes.
not like she's in the ride or die alliance.
Huh?
Yeah.
No one is coming for Colleen.
I think she's just the easiest one to pin.
Yeah.
To throw a vote off of, like, hey, leave Big T alone. Let's just get rid of Colleen.
She's the equivalent of like a Manuel to me in the American yeah. alliance, because he's not American, just like Colleen's yep. not an American from the same season.
Right.
You know, a few of them yeah. known for Rider yeah. Dies, but she was a Targaryen. She yeah. was in the Targaryen group, and it's not the same.
Yeah.
You know? And that's my first reference of the year. I think I've done well holding that back.
Anyway. Speaking of a Manuel, so I thought this was, no, not quite yet. It was
in the club, right. And it was a different bar than they've been going to, which I was very happy with.
Yeah. So anyway, I did find this interesting, though. So Emmanuel and Kyland are sitting there and they're talking about, you know, working together and how, you know, they're both you know, strong in the game, whatever, and they want to try to work together and try to benefit from each other. And then it cuts to Kylan's confessional, and he's like, you know, I like Emmanuel. You know, I think this could work. I think this could be a good alliance. And then it cuts to Emmanuel, and he's like, I'm just telling him what he wants to hear, but I'm still coming for you, buddy. I was like,
that's how you play the challenge. Yes. That's how you're supposed to play.
Okay. Okay.
And Survivor, which he's also from.
Like, dude, thank you so much, Emmanuel. Like, that was so perfect. I love seeing stuff like that. Like,
he's the low key villain that we all need.
Mm-hmm. He's Dracula.
It goes back to what he said in the beginning of the episode in the intro, where he was talking about, like, you came after me. That's like coming after my family. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get you out now.
Yeah.
And that's what he's going to do. And like, that's why Manuel's the sleeper of this season.
Dude.
Like, nobody really wants to see him.
No.
In a final, I think, nor in the elimination.
I think he could do really good in a final. Yep. I really do.
Agreed.
I won't go. I don't want to say it yet. I have a prediction if it's right about Emmanuel, but I'm going to save that.
Okay.
Because I don't. Sorry, I'm all over the
place. You're good. Right now. We got to keep it pushing. We're already at 40.
I know where we're at. So look, this is one of the reasons I love bar scenes, because this whole episode came to a head as soon as a little bit of alcohol was introduced in a social setting, and Melissa still had it in her head that she needed to know who said her name first.
It's really interesting how she was really upset with all these people for making up lies and lying to her, but then she's going to go around and lie to people to see what they're going to say.
So what I didn't like is that she grabbed Berna right away, knowing that Berna, like, I'm not even there, and I know Berna is not in, she doesn't understand the social setting of what Melissa and the rest of the Americans do.
Yep.
And she fucking flipped and said something, gave her what she wanted, and Mariah's like,
hook, line, and sinker.
What are you doing?
Yeah. And this was the part that, again, Mariah was like, I'm not going to say a single word. And like,
this is what I was thinking of.
Melissa even gets all pissed off and gets up and like storms away from the table. Yeah. And like you said, Mariah had to break it down to Berna, like, she's lying to you. That Emmanuel never told her anything, dude. She's lying to you.
I took it a little bit differently. So I appreciated that as soon as she started interrogating Berna and Berna pushed back and then Melissa just kept pushing, that she was just like, hold on, and then got Mariah to come over and just be like, look, she's not listening to me. You tell her. And then with how pissed Melissa looked when she called over Mariah, because it was almost like Melissa was like, ah, fuck, I've already dealt with Mariah. She's not going to tell me anything. I'm going to go lie to somebody else.
Yeah, but exactly.
She did get information out of Berna because Berna was trying to defend herself.
Yeah.
You know, and led down the path, which eventually led to Raven.
Yeah.
And this is another reason I don't want to hear people talk about, like, oh, this show's boring. Like, this show is literally giving you everything people loved about the early. It's giving their mother.
It's giving.
So anyway, Melissa goes and she tries to confront Raven next. And she tells Raven the same thing that she told Berna, that Emmanuel had told her that it was Raven who had initially brought her name up at the, you know, team deliberation to send her in. And Raven ain't having that shit. She gives no fucks. She has zero apology. And she's like, girl, like, I'm not going to play this game with you. Like, get out of my face. Leave me alone. But like, it's, I've promised you nothing. This isn't a thing.
What I really liked was the fact that she actually tried to take a second to explain to her as well, saying, look, like, I'm only one person. I can't sway the whole group.
Yeah.
And I only said what everybody else was thinking.
Yeah.
And the fact that Melissa couldn't take it for what it was. Says how Melissa's processing this game more personally than in a game setting.
Yes, exactly.
But I'm not mad about it because it made this whole fucking scene super entertaining and outside the normal scene that we normally see.
I just gotta say, though, like, major, major props to Raven. And I actually sent her a fucking DM about this.
Yeah.
But major props to Raven because the pure self-control that that woman exhibited in that moment. Oh, absolutely, my God.
Yeah, when she stood up to leave.
No, just the fact that, Melissa threw wine in her face, red wine in her face. And she did not beat the shit out of that girl right there in that club and just get sent home. Like,
the
self-control.
Raven's facial expressions for the rest of the bar scene was like the viewer's facial expressions of like how it went from 0 to 60, where you have Melissa in one moment saying literally word for word, it's hard to stay so calm. And then the next shot is her throwing her drink in Raven's face. Yeah. And then she gets in a yelling match with Raven. And then she starts crying and then says that she doesn't want there to be drama.
Yeah. Well, and my thing is like, okay, there's never a reason, right, to throw fucking wine in somebody's face. But there was nothing in my mind that justified that. Like, it's not like Raven said anything offhand to her or anything. No. She literally stood up to walk away from the confrontation that she did not want to be part of, because I've already told you, dude, there was nothing I could do.
Yeah.
And I didn't make you any promises. So I don't know what you expected me. Have a good day. Bye. Yeah. Like, so the fact that Melissa went from fucking 0 to 60 over Raven trying to remove herself from a situation she was uncomfortable in is very fucking disappointing. And then she wants to run around and be like, oh, I'm not a bully. I'm not a bully, girl.
Yeah. But did you also notice she waited until Raven was physically like almost completely turned away from her before she threw the glass of wine? So now you're proving a point that this is a habit that you do, because not two episodes you were kicking Nerys in the back after the round was over.
Not to mention how she behaved in the elimination against Sylvia and
Yes. And the fight with Kayla. Like, this is not a good look.
No, it's not.
So three things that I have, and then I'm gonna push us for. First thing, as much as I agree with everything you guys just said about Melissa, I'm still happy she's on the show because she keeps it in between me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. 100%.
She earns her spot 100%.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Second thing, Ed holding them back from fighting. Great. I loved it.
Yes.
Third and lastly, was Aesop had a moment to shine when he got wine on his shirt and he talked about it. He's like, I love this shirt.
I got it from Ross, Dress for Less.
I fucking love it. I was like, yes, sir. Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
So after this, we get back to the house the next morning, and it's really just a quick scene of Big T talking to Ed.
Oh, my God. Trying
to bribe him with euros.
Her scaring Ed, like, I don't care if it was staged or not.
I loved
but
this.
Her jumping up and Ed's reaction was fucking gold.
It was so great.
Fucking good. And it was a good way to kind of cap out, like, a really dramatic scene. To bring in this humor at the end, and they play off each other very well.
Oh, yeah.
Big T would probably be phenomenal on The Circle, just throwing that out there.
Oh, honestly.
Yeah. And you know what would be really phenomenal? If you guys would give us a couple moments to listen to this ad from Spotify for podcasters.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for sticking through that ad. We're back. Right. We're back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it one more time. We're back.
Back.
Let's go over those nominations.
Okay, let's do it.
Back again. He's
back. What do you guys?
Sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry.
So, question about this nomination ceremony. Just to kick it off right out the gate. Aesop confronts Melissa about her, you know, explosion through the house of trying to confront everybody and, you know, how angry she was at Raven. What do you guys think about Aesop throwing this out there like that at Noms?
I mean, someone's got to do it. I guess he picked the short stick. You know what I mean? Like, because it feels like it's just like a rotation of who's going to bring it up this week. But I think it's weird because Aesop likes to interject a lot of humor into situations. And it felt like he was trying to do that here. And it was like, this isn't the right. This isn't the right spot. That's
not the right time.
Yeah. Nominations and humor, they have to be played right. It's a talent that takes more than, you know, 9 episodes I've been on. So
that's very true. Yeah.
I think he likes to inject humor and stir up shit in equal measure.
Yes.
And I think he was leaning more on the back half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he knew that he wasn't getting nominated. So
100%. Yep. He's like, you ain't gonna be mean this week. So
yep.
So why don't you two like each other?
Right? Yeah. What's going on with you guys?
I couldn't believe
that. You ruined my shirt.
Oh my god.
I like that we had continuation of Raven and Melissa going back and forth once again.
Oh, yeah.
Raven was just like, oh my God.
Still?
Dude, to be honest with you guys, okay, so on Ride or Dies, that was the one she did with Johnny Middlebrooks, right?
Yeah.
So on Ride or Dies, I was not a big fan of Raven. Not that I didn't like her. I just, the whole thing with Johnny Middlebrooks and with Nari, it turned me off. You know, it was like episode 1, I think it was, she was sitting outside all by herself crying, you know, while everybody was partying and having a good time. And, you know, it just turned me off to her. But this season, like seeing her without this bullshit guy, you know, thing, I actually really like Raven. I liked her a lot.
I agree. This is so unpopular. I was not a big fan of the trio that you just mentioned. Like, it's taken me a while to. Don't like Johnny.
No, I'm not a big fan either.
You know what?
Sorry.
I don't know anything about him outside of the challenge.
I watched Love Island.
He's just a fuckboy, yeah.
Oh, okay. I get that. But I did like the fact that he tried to stir the pot right when he came into Ride or Dies and voted Tori.
That he did.
So I'll give him that, but that's all I know him about. So. Yeah,
I think, honestly, he could probably be a pretty decent challenge player, like challenger.
Yeah. I was honestly disappointed that we didn't get Cinco.
Yes.
Oh, I think we all are. Mm-hmm. That was a miss for sure.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a little butthurt about that.
Maybe they just know it'd be really one-sided.
We got to get Cinco back on. Yeah. I miss bullshitting with him.
He's just been fucking super busy.
I know.
Watching. He's, you know, just lived it up in LA. So I'm happy for him.
He's doing his thing. Yeah, for sure.
I like how Kylan, we were foreshadowing this earlier, like calls out everybody for voting to just go with the flow and voting instead of like not voting for someone you really want or giving reasons of going with the majority.
And that was the thing. I was like, you know, I totally see your point, Kylan, you know, and to an extent, I agree. Like, yes, that would be the ideal situation is for everybody to vote for who they actually want. Not to go with the majority. And if you are going with the majority, that you actually have a reason other than I'm going with the majority.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's how the game is played, dude. Like,
which Asaf pointed out.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, and so this is what I really wanted to ask you guys, because obviously, you know, Kylan gives this speech and then we break into votes, you know, and Ed kicks off voting by voting Big T. Everybody follows suit, including Melissa and Kylan.
And Big T.
Well, everybody who's gone in has ended up voting for themselves. I was surprised Melissa did not burn on somebody else. And then Kylan, having just given that speech, I was very surprised that he voted his girl's best friend in. Mm-hmm. And you could tell that Melissa was surprised as well. That look on her face when he said Big T, she was expecting him to also burn on somebody else. So my question is, what do you guys think about Kylan? Because I know he's very new to the challenge world. Rick and I have a little bit more experience with him because we watched his Big Brother season. But I'm curious, like, what are you guys thinking about Kylan?
I don't know how I feel about him, in all honesty. Like, I don't know yet. I feel like I should know how I feel about him by now. But I don't know. He's still floating around there for me.
Yeah.
I appreciate that he takes a very analytical approach and he watches previous seasons, like Rick will appreciate this, like game tape, and he knows what he's looking for and he knows, in theory, how to play this game.
Right.
And like he hangs out with Josh and Fessel and like he has enough experience and he has enough exposure to understand how the game works. Mm-hmm. And he has great ideas. I agree with what he's saying of you should play. Basically, it's just yet another way of saying you should play for the game you're in, not seasons down the road. But to then turn around and just vote with the majority without giving a reason. He understands it, but he needs to commit to it, sort of.
Practice what you preach.
Yeah, well, this is going to sound weird. But if he were to take a page out of Corey Lay's book, where he knows how to do the thing, it might be unpopular, but he's going to do it and then figure out how to navigate the repercussions after. Right. And I think that Kyland will do better on the show once he's still analytical, but to a lesser extent. Right now, he overanalyzes and then gets stuck. At least that's my perception. But I like having him on the show. Yeah. I like what he brings to the show.
Here's my thing is I'm kind of on the same side with Katie. I'm giving him some time.
Yeah.
Because I want to see his back against the wall.
Yeah.
Where he has to bring out a different side of Kyland.
Yeah.
Not the nice, let's play my part and just try to slide by.
Yeah.
I want to see.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is for me.
I need to see someone push him. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm missing. Like, I need a Corey Wharton in there to push him, not only physically, but...
I think he's just comfortable or something. Because here's my thing with Kyland, and we've talked about this when, you know, after he was on Big Brother and we started the podcast and everything, and then the couple of times we've seen him on, like, you know, USA and whatnot, is that, you know, Kyland typically has the what we call the Goku mentality, right? Where he wants to go against the best so he can feel like he is the best because he beat the best, right? The the same bullshit that TJ's selling with the mercenaries. And so for him to give, like, and this is obviously just one example, but I feel like we've had multiple situations like this with Kyland throughout the season. It's like, I just don't feel like he's playing like that right now. I don't know if he's nervous. I don't know if he's comfortable. I can't really tell what side of that coin he sits on. But again, I want, like you guys said, I want to see how he reacts when he's put under pressure.
Yeah.
And when he has to make a decision and not just a decision of, you know, do I vote my challenge girlfriend's best friend in, but like a real decision, you know what I mean? Like when everybody throws Melissa in and he's got nobody else to fall back on, you know, or when he's under the gun and he's the target, which maybe we'll be seeing soon. I don't know, but I like Kyland. I don't know what he's doing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I give him credit for pulling the big game move last week of throwing Manuel in. Like, I give him credit for that. Like, he seems to be playing the game. It's just, I don't know. I hate saying it this way, but it's almost like it's too PC. It's too nice.
Yeah.
You know, like, I need some pizzazz.
Yeah, I agree.
There needs to be some sizzle on that stage. It can't just be...
Yeah,
I think what it comes down to is, like, he can't find his archetype because Horacio's the nice guy who can still get shit done. So you've then got Kyland, who is also the nice guy, and it shows because he and Horacio are good friends in the house. But he doesn't have that same, I guess, experience where Horacio had his back against the wall for the whole season. And so he knows that as much as he's the nice guy, there's still shit that he has to do that he's not going to like that he needs to do. But Kyland, like you said, Rick, hasn't quite been put in that situation yet where he's really had to just like hunker down and go. I almost feel like he needs the Chris Underwood experience where he's at the bottom and he just has to fight.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point. That's a really good point, too, because even yeah. in like what? Because he was on USA One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when he was on USA One, the only real like move he had to make, the only time he was ever really in power, was when he threw Xavier down, which was a total revenge thing from Big Brother. So it wasn't even like making a game move. It was a revenge move, 100%. You know, so it's like we've never really had seen him have to make a move, make a decision. So yeah, anyway, that's, I think we're all kind of sitting in the same spot on that.
I'm going to give him the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go from there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I think any of us can really do.
But yeah, so we end noms with another unanimous vote. This one is obviously for Big T. And so, so we've got Melissa and Big T down in the draw.
No lie. I would actually rather have seen Melissa and Big T go against each other.
Right.
Than what we got. But with that being said, we get into the eliminations. And can I just say this off top? Why do we have to rename Pole Wrestle to match? Because it's rainy.
Pole and like, the storm. Did they literally do that right on the spot because it was raining?
Yes. Probably. Yes.
I mean, I hope so. I hope they didn't really workshop that idea and then be like, yeah, this is the winner.
Yeah.
Like, what?
They could have at least said like Pole and Thunder. You know what I mean?
So weird. I was like, I literally, as soon as I knew it was Pole Wrestle, I wrote Pole Wrestle as the title of the Olymp. And then he starts talking about pole. And I had to turn to Rick. I was like, what was it?
And Riders like, in the
am I storm. Hearing this correctly?
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh why didn't gosh. They just call it Pole Chaos?
Yeah, Chaos Pole.
Chaotic polling.
Yeah, something.
I don't know. Anyway,
that's a different show.
Yeah. So obviously it's pouring rain. And it's a big deal because we never have seen it rain during an elimination.
Or a daily.
Never.
Never. Never. This is the first time ever.
But the outfits tonight, though.
Right? Even I caught this.
The outfits, dude. Like Mariah's outfit. Like
she was in an Aaliyah fucking video from the 90s.
She really did. She really did. You had Emmanuel and his cutoff jeans and his little half t-shirt. Like, I fucking love that man.
He looked like he was on Friday Night Lights and shit.
I fucking love him. I love it.
What was it? I did like, you know, how nobody was like, oh, who is that? Who? They're like, oh, fuck, it's Casey.
Yes. Yes.
She did. She got a really good
response.
Yeah, a really good response, a really good reception into the arena. And you know what? I like Casey, and I'm gonna just put that on the record. I know she takes a lot of shit, and a lot of fans don't like her, and they say she's boring, and they call her furniture and whatever else. You know what? That's fine. That's fine. You know, yeah. However you want to feel about her, that's fine. But me personally, man, I'm fucking here for Casey. I like her, and I think she's hella funny. It doesn't get shown a lot on the show. Like in her edit, and especially if she's on a season with Nani, it's so fucking centrally focused around that. But if you watch her, you know, on Instagram or TikTok, whatever, you see her in real life, or even just the little bit that we really got to see of her being authentic and having to fight a little bit on Worlds when she was partnered with Troy, and she's funny and she's goofy.
She's she seems like such a good person too. Yeah. Like all of her confessionals or interviews, she always has something nice to say or something positive to say. Like, I just loved her reaction with Big T too. Like, and what she said after, which we will get to. But
I loved Ed's reaction when she walked in and Ed was like, "Oh, she's gonna fuck somebody up."
Well, and that's what I was gonna say. It's like people can call her furniture, but she ain't fucking furniture in that elimination ring. No. Nobody wants to see her down there, and that includes some of the best, like Tori, like fucking Carmaria or Laurel. Like, she's a fucking beast. Now, do I think she would beat every single one of them?
No.
No. I'm sure she would lose them. Yeah.
Right. But,
you know, but she's a fucking beast, and she is a force to be reckoned with on the women's side.
She truly is.
You all just, like, absolutely stole my thunder. I had written the whole thing, and I was like, you know what? Everybody shits on Casey, and I really fucking like Casey. Here's what I wrote, Karina. I'm just going to go on the record right off the top, pretty much verbatim what you said. I fucking love Casey, and I don't get the hate. She's fucking funny. and she's super sarcastic and super dry, which I absolutely love, and we don't get to see a lot. So there's what you said. And then with Rick, like, she is not a layup in any sense of the word. Like, she's a badass, and I don't understand if it's a carryover for Big Brother and I just don't have a frame of reference or like what the situation is. But at Biodomer on Instagram, it's been a while since I've said it, but I am fucking here for Casey, and I'm gonna root for Casey every time that she comes out, and so is Sarah. Like, apparently we are the pro Casey podcast because we've all just independently come in and been like, look, Casey's fucking awesome. So
Casey, pro Josh, like, all that shit around.
Yeah, let's be honest. With as many fucking hosts as we have, we should be pro everyone at this point.
You know, you know what I wasn't pro though?
Oh yeah.
No, I had a problem. I had a fucking problem.
Yeah,
I did. Uh-oh. So TJ brings Casey out, right? Yep. And he introduces Melissa Big T, you know, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. And then he starts introducing Casey to the rest of the cast and starts reading off her finals stats. And Melissa fucking interrupts TJ to be like, I was there with her.
It's just such a look at me fucking attitude. I can't stand that shit.
So pick me. And I was like, are you fucking serious? Like, dude, let her have her moment, dude. Like, he's reading, like, that was just, to me, that was so disrespectful. Like, be quiet, okay? Just be quiet, because
TJ is talking.
Yeah, TJ's talking, got
you. Yeah, the king is talking. Be quiet.
And I like Melissa. And
I do, too. I couldn't
stand this moment. I hated it. Yeah, I'm just not a big fan of the pick me shit. Like,
it was just disrespectful to Casey, you know what I mean? Like, let her have her moment. Let her get her stats read. Like, she's there because she has the stats to be called a mercenary, to be a champ. And you may have run a final with her, but I know you didn't finish it for certain reasons, but you didn't even finish that final, and it's not your fucking moment.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to move us past this point because I want to get to the main debate that's been happening that I've seen online about this.
Because I'm ready.
Which is, first of all, when they announce it's a pole wrestle and we know it's Casey versus Big T. Does anyone think Big T has a chance?
No.
Exactly, right? So
no disrespect to Big T, but Casey is a beast.
Did Casey take it easy and give Big T round two?
I truly feel that way. I do. Here's my thing. So here's my issue. And not to say that Big T did not do good, because she did. She fought her little heart out, and she did a hell of a lot better against Casey. Yes,
100%.
Even in round one and round three, where I feel like Casey was really giving it everything she had, but
Casey was conserving her energy for that last round.
Yes. The fact that she took the pole from Big T so easily in round one, and then again so easily in round three, but struggled for so long in round two, like, it just, I don't know. It just, and I'm not saying like she gave it to her. I just don't think Casey was giving that round everything she had, and she was okay with Big T winning one round if it ended up happening.
My take was that round one, she was testing the waters to see like what Big T had to give. Round two, she was letting Big T tire herself out, because she knew that either Big T's going to tire herself out and she's going to be able to get the pole from her, or she's going to need to have her like full burst of energy in round three. Big T gets the pole, and then she's like, cool, round three, we're getting this done. And she does. So I'm with you. Like, I wouldn't necessarily say that she gave Big T round two. I would say that her technique or her strategy for round two was let Big T tire herself out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that's probably a better way to word it than to say like that Casey gave her round two, or, you know, but it's just hard for me to believe that like round one and three, you're totally fucking fine, but round two, you're not. Like, it would be different if in round three, she was still kind of tired. Then I'd be like, all right, you know, she got worn out from round one. I totally get it. But there was no exhaustion in Casey whatsoever. You know what I mean? And so And also they're close friends, you know, like I think that Casey is one of those where she's not going to throw you something. She's not going to throw it to you or quit or something like that. Like, she's there to win regardless if you're her best friend or not. But it's also not going to hurt me to give you, not give you a round, but to give you an opportunity to win a round so that I'm not here just fucking humiliating my best friend on TV, you know?
Kind of like her and Nani.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry. Now you can talk.
Thank you. I patiently wait.
You
I
did. Don't mind. You did. Thank you.
I don't disagree with anything any of you guys just said. Mm. I'm just looking at it from a different perspective, which is Casey understands that competitively is where she shines, and she's there to deliver a performance. She knows it's a TV show, and she's trying to build drama amongst her part as much as she can.
That's fair too.
Which is first round, make it take a little bit longer, take that second round, tire her out, just like Tony said, and you guys all agreed, and let her win that to make it a 1-1 with one final round. There's a build up.
Yep.
Take it.
Done. Yeah.
And
you're right, because that is a lot more fun. Like, if you're very conscious of the fact that you're making a TV show, that's a lot more fun to watch than to watch somebody just come in, yank that pole out, round two, yank that pole out, done. You know what I mean?
And, like, and that's why I say, yes, she did give Big T the win in round two.
That's
true. To create the drama. Did Big T put up more of a fight than anyone thought?
Probably even Casey thought,
yes, and if it's against Melissa, I have a real strong suspicion that Big T wins this.
She might have won it,
You know what I mean? Yeah. No offense to Melissa, but I think Big T's just stronger and more well-built for this competition. Someone that is as petite, is that the correct word to use in this situation, as Melissa is, doesn't translate well to pole wrestle.
Right.
Nor does going against Big T in particular. I think that Melissa would possibly hold back against Big T because she perceives herself as stronger than Big T and wouldn't want to hurt her. Whereas I think that Big T going against Melissa would give it her all because she knows what Melissa can bring.
Yeah.
So I think that those differing techniques would result in Big T winning.
And Melissa probably wouldn't play dirty against her best friend.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. She definitely isn't playing in that like she did against Sylvia.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So obviously Casey wins. The group loses another $10,000 and Big T is eliminated. And this might be my line of the night.
Well, it is my line of the night.
Yeah, so which is she goes, we're going to end up going.
We're going to end up going. How do you read it? It's literally in front of your face. Because you're reading
thinking,
it.
I was thinking about going broke. Wrong. When she said, I was like, yeah, you are going to owe money. You're broke.
And yeah, so no. Yeah, we're going to end up owing money. Yeah, she says, we're going to end up owing money.
that's perfect. The line of the night.
Yeah.
Yep.
Line of the night for sure. I am curious, though, mainly because it's been so difficult for me to pick one. Who's your guys' MVP this episode?
I literally have been trying to figure that out.
Right?
Since I watched it. I don't know.
I gave MVP to Big T, honorable mention to Mariah for gaming in the house. And then Asaf and Jay, homework official as the confessional kings.
You know what? I actually, since I can't really give it to somebody based off like the, because you can't give it to somebody based off the daily because it was like a team thing. It was like, you know, nobody really stood out above the others on the teams for me. But I will give my female MVP to Mariah because of how she played that whole section. And then I am going to give my honorable mention for the women to Raven for that impeccable showing of self-control.
MVP to Mariah. Honorable mention to Big T for putting up the fight she did.
There you go. Yeah, that too. Yeah, and slash Big T. Because I definitely want to give her some props. I don't know. I'm not as big of a fan of Big T as like everybody else seems to be. It's not that I don't like her. I just, I don't like the, it's not, it's the same issue I have with Melissa, right? It's the,
yes,
you betrayed me, you backstabbed me, wham, wham, wham. It's like, that's what this game is. And that, it bugs me. But like, as a person, dude, she's so awesome and she's fun on the show. She has great confessionals and her social game is fucking awesome normally. This season, not so much. but I was glad to see her come back, but I'm also not sad that she's leaving. I don't know.
100%. I mean, here's my thing is like, I know a lot of people really love Big T and I don't fault them for that. She's very entertaining.
Yeah.
But like, entertaining only carries the show so far.
Yeah.
Like, at a certain point, I want to see a good athlete that's competent in like endurance events and the things I'm not competent in. So, but with that being said, I enjoy her. I would love to see her come back.
Yeah.
And do more seasons. And from what it sounds like, she enjoys doing the challenge once again and wants to come back. So I'm all for it.
Yeah. Heck yeah. I'm down for it.
I think that I like her more every season that I see her. And because she trains, she knows what she's not great at and she works at it. And like she said, Casey is the one who taught her how to pole wrestle, which means that outside of the game, she's trying to figure out some of the eliminations that will likely come out and how to win them. And no matter what people say about the two eliminations that she had, that she won them. They weren't physical. They weren't head to head, but she won two eliminations and that's nothing to shake your head at. Like Casey said at the end, like she said that she could see her winning at some point. And TJ said that he hopes to see her win at some point. I do too. Like, I can see it happening. I don't see it happening for 40, but like, if she keeps coming back and keeps improving the way that she plays, I could see a final win from her.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I don't.
Yeah, I don't see Big T ever winning, but
like, you're going to tell me she's going to beat Tori, Casey, you know, multiple
Olivia Nerys.
You know. Like, I just don't see it.
It depends who's there, right?
If she's partnered with CT, maybe. Jordan.
I just have this feeling that Big T is going to be like the next, like,
Katie,
Nani, Anissa, where like she might get all the way to the end, but you know, or she might make it to the final, come in second or whatever, but it's just going to be really difficult for her to finish that final. Now that's, I'm not saying that I can't ever see it happening, but I just, it's not something I personally would bet on.
Oh yeah. I'm not like dropping money on it, but
yeah,
no.
Anyway, really quick, going back to what I was going to say about the, you know, the Casey, the Big T thing and, you know, Big T's eliminations. It's the same thing with Casey's win. You can't take it away from her because of how the game was set up, right? It's not her fault that, you know, even though she came in last place, she was able to pick her partner first. That's how the game was set up. She played the game. She played it to the best of her ability. She picked the best hand she could, and she fucking won. You can't take it from her. And just like with Big T, you can't hold against her what eliminations she was put into and what the production chose for her to performing, you know. So I just wanted to throw that out because I also have been saying a lot of crap about, you know, Casey's not even a real champ. She only won because she was with CT and she got lucky and all this if and that and that and it. And it's like, none of that shit matters. She won, period.
Yeah. So, all right, one final thing I want to bring up and I want your guys' opinion. We don't have much time.
Yeah.
We need to close it out, but I do want to ask this question. I saw on social media after the elimination that Big T had put out a thing on Instagram saying that after the elimination, you know, how much she loved Casey and Casey actually shared 5,000 of the 10,000 she won.
She split her money with her.
How do you guys feel about that?
There's not a rule against it. I don't necessarily, I think that there should be sort of like in Survivor, you can't share the winnings. Yeah. I understand the idea behind it. She wanted to take somebody out for Big T and instead took out Big T. I don't like it, but it's not my money.
I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like it. And I definitely think there should be a rule against it. And honestly, like, this again feels very pick me. Yeah. Like, why did Big T even say that online? Why did she even out Casey for that online?
Don't, keep it quiet.
Just keep that between you guys, man. Like, the fans didn't need to know that. And it doesn't look good on you. It doesn't look good on Casey. Like, it's again, it's like
she's buying a fucking favor for a future season, and I fucking hate it.
That's exactly what it looks
like. And then, but then you also like play it back to her, like, and I don't know if it was production or if they came up with it, but the little thing with between her and Ed where she was like, I'm bribing you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it. Well,
was that actually a joke, or was that a, there's a little truth behind every just kidding?
Yeah, I mean,
that's not cute.
And look, like, there's been people that have thrown eliminations to help somebody out, like Mark with bananas. But the fact that that it's well known that money's being traded taints the reputation and the honesty of the competition, and I don't fucking like.
Yeah.
And that's my closing thoughts on this.
I agree. 100%.
Hive mind all.
Mm-hmm. Hive mind all the way around. Look at that.
Fucking group high five. Boom. It was delayed because I had to travel.
It was like a wave. It was like a wave.
Yeah.
High five.
Just like our background. You know what?
I think we fucking did good. And I'm going to call it.
Yeah, no, honestly, this episode, I didn't enjoy it as much as I enjoyed the last one, but I think it was still a decent episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm very much looking forward to seeing what mercenary we have coming next week.
Yes.
That's going to be very interesting. And I'm also curious to see if TJ throws this, like, switches things up a little bit, because he keeps like dropping these little hints of like, you know, oh, is it a girl's day or is it not? You don't know who you're voting for, so make sure you win. So I feel like eventually he's going to be like, ha, it's another girl's day, or like, you know, do one back to back. It's another guy's day back to back.
Or maybe it is a double and it's a guy's and girl's day.
There you go. Yeah, could be.
We don't know.
Since you said that, this is what I think, and then I'm closing this out.
All right.
As the end of it.
Sorry.
I think because we've seen people beat a mercenary, and I don't think, I mean, odds are we're not going to get a clean sweep all the way across.
Yeah.
We're going to have either purges or some type of double type of elimination.
Oh, to knock some people out. Yeah.
Exactly. To maintain their schedule.
Give me a purge. I love a good purge.
That's a good point.
With that, we're going to purge the rest of this episode. And for myself, Ricky Hayes, my beautiful wife, Karina Hayes, Tony Stats and Info Lance, and Katie. She's got bad blood for her.
Yay, you did it.
Twice in a row. That's we want to thank y'all for tuning in. We appreciate it. If you get a chance on IG, go send Josh some messages. He just had surgery.
Yeah.
He's doing well, though, and send him some love. But for all of us here at the Challenge Panda Podcast, we appreciate y'all for tuning in. If you get a chance, rate us 5 stars. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss any episodes. And that's a wrap. Bye.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.